Hi, this is Jennifer Sage with the Indoor Cycling Association, and I have a very special guest for you today, Christine Nielsen. We're going to talk about her profile called Storm Stayed. How are you, Christine?
I'm good today. I'm a little tired of snow shoveling, but spring is around the corner.
You've had, what, 3 days of shoveling snow and a couple more ahead of you?
Yep, and two to come.
Well, I live in the mountains, too. It's snowing right now as we speak. But you're right, the spring is around the corner. So this profile has a winter theme, but the reason why we are, aside from the fact that it's really a fun profile, the reason why we're talking about it is because you have a very unique way of storytelling in order to get your students to understand cycling, even if they're not cyclists. So you use other themes that they're more familiar with. So why don't you explain a little bit about your method of storytelling.
All right. Well, it occurs to me that an awful lot of my students aren't very interested in cycling, that they came to my classes for different reasons and with different goals, and some of them may never ride outside. So some of the cues that I use and the stories that I use related to cycling races and cycling movements sort of went over their heads. And what I've developed is a practice of creating theatrical events, presentations that make reference to other activities, sensations in their lives, which I can then use to link to in the effort descriptions and form descriptions which would better suit an indoor cycling class. So trying to create a connection between real life and what they do in the cycling studio.
Some of our listeners are looking out their window and seeing bright sunshine and beaches and not snowbound, big piles of snow. So what would you suggest to them?
I would suggest that they look around them and think about what experiences they have in their everyday life or in some magic moments of their life, and what experiences their students might have had, and create a story that's structured around those experiences. And in fact, I'd love to hear a story based on a beach right now, somewhere in Australia or Brazil. I'm sure that there are cues that related to walking in the water and walking in sand that they could embed in a very fun story, and I'd be enthusiastic to hear and use a profile like that.
So the gauntlet has been thrown down to my ICA listeners here. If you have, if you can come up with a story, base a profile around, you know, more of a summer outdoors experience, then send it to us and we'll post it. I really enjoy your profiles, Christine. You really have a great way of getting your students to focus on themselves, focus on their bodies, and you bring in education in very clever ways. And one of the ways is by telling stories. You did that really well in your Halloween profile, and I know we had some members who were really enthusiastic about that one. So this one is very different. So why don't you go ahead and jump in, tell us what the objective of the profile is, and how you introduce it to your students.
All right. Well, the objective, we've already discussed, it is to build on familiar experiences and sensations and use those as guides for effort and form in the bike and in the studio. The profile is designed for a diverse class, so participants can choose any level of exertion and still enjoy and learn from the experience. So we start at the beginning of the class by announcing that it's a winter morning and that we've just gotten out of bed to look out the windows to see if the forecasters were correct. And to our dismay, we find that the forecasters were wrong, that even more snow fell overnight. And we know what that means. It means that we have to get up, get ready, and get shoveling. And the first step is to warm up, bring our bodies to a position where we will be safe while we're shoveling, and that involves bringing up our heart rates, changing our breathing patterns. And in the third song of the warm-up, which, by the way, is by a Canadian artist, there are a lot of Canadian artists sprinkled through this profile, partly because
as,
I live
as
in...
As there should be, yes.
Yes, yes. So in this third one, which is actually a Nova Scotian artist, I do suggest some calisthenics. I call them jumping jacks, but we, of course, are not going to do jumping jacks on the bike. I simply use that as a reference to some... 30-second sits, followed by 30-second stands to bring up the heart rate. And that gets us warmed up sufficiently to grab the shovel and get out into the driveway. This part of the profile I use to draw attention to our bodies. When we're shoveling, we're very aware of the work that's going on in our body, and in particular, to the fact that it's very one-sided. We lift, we throw, we lift, we throw, we lift, we throw. But then at some point we put the shovel down, we stop for a breather, and we switch sides, and we throw to the other side. If we don't do that, we're in trouble at the end of the day.
Absolutely. I've been there.
Yes.
Living in the mountains.
So this is a chance to ask people just to bring their awareness to what's going on in both sides of their body. They're not going to do anything special, riding at 70 RPM, but just to pay attention to what's happening in their feet, what's happening in their seat. And by the time they're done with that, the driveway is clear. And we head back into the house to hear that the police want everyone to stay off the roads. We've been storm-stayed, which is a unique Maritime Canada term. And it means we all get to stay home. Government offices, schools are closed. And I want people to reflect on the excitement that they felt when they were as a kid, when the radio said, no school today. Now we're going to do what the kids do. We're going to go play. First by heading out to the sledding hill. This particular song is 62 beats per minute, so that's pretty slow. I ask people to slow their legs to the beat and then add sufficient resistance to make it feel like they're climbing a steep hill in deep snow while dragging a sled behind them.
And anyone who has done that would immediately recognize that this is hard work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't have to call it climbing a steep mountain on our bike to have the same sensation in our bodies. This is, I have to be honest, one of my favorite parts of this class or any class, because some time ago I learned, again from personal experience, that walking in deep snow is exactly like pedaling a bike. That if you think about it, you have to pull your foot out of the snow with your heel back, or your toe will get stuck in the toe hole. You need to close your knees and your hips, and when your knees are fully closed, you need to extend your foot out over the surface of the snow before you let it fall back down in. And when I describe the pedaling stroke in those terms, people make connections they weren't able to make before.
That's great.
But once again, I'd like to hear what the people who live in warmer climes have to say in terms of a similar cue.
You know, and I have used that example of walking through water in mm-hmm. the past. So yeah. Like, you know, the lower part of the surf where you it's just to shin level and you just have to raise your leg up enough to get it out yep. of the water.
Yep. So. Well, then the best part about climbing the hill is we get to go down.
What goes up gets to come down fast.
Exactly. So, and we are going to go fast. I suggest a cadence of about 95 RPM on this song. And I ask people to think about flopping onto their sleds and going down the hill fast, but with stability and with control. So they need to stay quiet on their sled, on their bike, in charge of their bodies. If they lose control, they might hurt themselves. So opportunity for lots of form and balance cues. The magic of fiction is that we get to write the story any way we want. And I've written it so that when we get to the bottom of the hill, there's a river waiting for us. It's frozen over, and magically, there's no snow on it. No one's ever challenged me on that. Better than that, there are skates waiting for us. And this is, once again, an opportunity for people to become body aware. I want people to think about what it feels like to float across the ice on skates, that sense of no friction. And this is a great time to talk about the parallels between skating and cycling, where our legs are not necessarily moving in the direction of travel, but our toes are always pointing in the direction of travel. And skating and cycling also share the fact that our legs really are our engines. So this is a good time. I actually do leg isolations during this 4-minute song, which prepares people for the next part of the class, which is a 7-minute peaceful skate up the river. And I use a very familiar song. Everybody knows it. It's the Skater's Waltz. This particular mix is by Dan Gibson. He has added a lot of atmospherics, kids laughing, sounds of skates. And this is a great, peaceful time for introspection, for focus on intensity of effort, on breathing, on pedal stroke. And what's unique as well about this song is that it's counted in three. It's a waltz. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. As opposed to what we usually use, which is songs which are counted in 2 or 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And what that does, it breaks up the use of our dominant leg on the dominant beat of the measure and forces the dominant beat from the right leg to the left leg to the right leg. And anyone who's watched skating or dancing on TV knows that a waltz is a flowing, soothing rhythm, and people's bodies adapt to that and their pedal stroke improves.
Well, I love the 1, 2, 3 because, you know, we're so focused on that 4-4 count, you know, and 1, 2, 1, 2, that this really must get them to focus on their pedal stroke in a completely different way.
Yes.
Than normal. And whenever I think of waltz and you think of that flowing graceful, for some reason I think of The King and I, you know, that's
right.
The image
Shall
I have.
Shall we dance?
So,
right.
You know, I think anyone, if you've never taken a waltz lesson, you at least have seen it on TV and you can recognize that fluidity. And if you have taken a waltz lesson, you'll know it. Your students will know it. So they may not be cyclists, but if they're dancers, they'll know that feeling.
That's right. Right. Now, about this point, some of the students in the class may be thinking this is getting a little hokey and when's it going to get hard? And so I built in a bit of a change by creating a hockey game that's taking place in the middle of the river. And I offer the students the opportunities to participate. If they don't want to participate, they can be a goalie. There's not much to. If they want to be a forward, then when it's their turn on the ice, they're going to stand. If they want to play defense, when it's their turn on the ice, they're going to sit. And we play 30-second shifts of all-out effort and with 90 seconds on the bench. And you can change the length of the shifts. It depends on who's in the class and how hard they want to work. The lyrics of this song are lots of fun. They make direct reference to shinny hockey. And people hear it, they catch on, they smile. And you should always end with someone scoring a goal, for sure. Somebody's.
Throw the hands up in the air. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And as soon as we've scored the goal, it's time to head home. And once again, the magic of fiction, there's a horse-drawn sleigh waiting with lots of blankets and robes. So this is an opportunity to recover. But my students know that when I warn them not to let their heart rates fall too low because there's adventures around the next corner, there will be adventures around the next corner. And the adventure in this case comes in the form of a sound effect, which is a horse whinnying.
See, now so this reminds me of your Halloween profile.
That's right. That's right. And so it's a horse whinnying, and people will recognize it, and you tell them that something spooked the horse, and they've taken off galloping. And the next song is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Siberian Sleigh Ride, which is fun and fast. I use the instrumental version, and I tell people the sleigh driver's now going to need your help to control the horses. And so when he asks for assistance, I want them to grab the reins and put on enough resistance to mimic the sensation of pulling back against those horses. So their cadence has to stay high. The horses are bolting. We're traveling quickly, but they're going to have to work harder to slow those horses down.
So this has the potential, right after that hockey game of anaerobic effort, this has the potential to get pretty intense.
That's right.
Yeah.
It can. And let's face it, we're way out there now. You know, reality, we left reality behind a long time ago, but the music in this section, it's impossible to deny, even the most hard-bitten person in class is going to start working to slow those horses down. And eventually, they're successful. We stop the horses and make the wise decision to get out of the sleigh and walk the rest of the way home. The plow's been by, so the roads are pretty clear, but it still takes effort to walk. And I draw a parallel between the effort that it takes to walk on a slick road and the effort that it takes to ride into a headwind. There are no visual cues for the experience we're feeling. The road looks just as flat when there's a headwind. The road looks just as easy to walk on when it's got a little slick of ice. But it takes the same commitment to make forward progress. So once again, I'm asking people to reflect on an experience and to build in that work that they might have experienced on a slippery road. It's the same sensation we as cyclists feel when there's a headwind and we're having a hard time figuring out why it's that much harder, but we can feel it in our bodies. It's a little bit harder.
And the other beauty of it is the necessary focus.
Yes.
Because if you get distracted, you're going down. So you
That's
have
right.
to be focused on what you're doing.
Exactly. Well, eventually we get to a part of the road where the plow hasn't yet reached. That happens to me a lot. We're walking back in deep snow. And once again, we have to add a little resistance to create that feeling in the rider's bodies. And we're now fatigued. So we need the focus to really think about what our feet, our legs are doing, be aware of what each muscle needs to do to pull that foot up out of the snow and put it down in front of us again. And finally, we get to a section of the road where your neighbor with this baby little tractor has cleared the road. The walking gets easier. We can drop our resistance and speed up our legs. And in all this silliness, I think this last part of the class is very important. I quiet things down. And I ask people to stay present, stay focused, don't let their thoughts stray too far from what they're doing right now. If we were on a snow day, as we were getting closer to home, we'd be thinking about the emails, the phone, the dinner, the childcare, the whatever. It's easy to let ourselves fall into that same trap as we get close to the end of class, and I think it's time. It's important that we take time for ourselves, we take time to play, and that we be selfish and stay focused all the way to the end. And we follow up with some cooling down and stretching, again, to winter-themed music.
Well, I would love to be in that class. To me, the kind of like going to a movie, like you said, you know, the drama, it's an opportunity to be taken away while you're working out. So you've got to be there, you've got to be present, you got to focus, you got to work hard, and at times work very, very hard. But also, it's entertaining, and you've been taken away from your worries. And this has to be just a really fun experience for your students. What has been their remarks to you afterwards? Because you said you've taught this a couple times.
Yes, I teach this one every year, actually, and they all know it's coming, and they
Oh,
all
yeah.
enjoy it, and they all know about the horses. But can I say a couple of words about my choice of music and my use of sound effects? I have the same sort of class I'm sure everybody else has. I have the people who want to listen to Muse. I have the classic rock. I have the pop junkies. I have the indie rockers. There's none of that and all of that in here. I've chosen songs which you can judge by the titles are very keyed to the activity, right to the song where we're going downhill, which is literally called Sled Ride. Now you can't tell from the music that it's called Sled Ride. The genres are all over the map, but they fit the story. And if they fit the story, people will listen. They will be entertained, and they will wait for the next song to come on to see how it fits the story. So they will be accepting of music that isn't in their wheelhouse because it forms a part of the greater whole, and because, to some extent, they're intrigued by the effort I put in to find something that would fit. And we all become a happier family that way as they begin to appreciate my efforts as I appreciate theirs. And don't underestimate the use of sound effects. They're surprising, they're funny, they lighten the mood, and they set a mood. So you notice, as
Absolutely.
in Halloween Ride, I use them. I use birdsong a lot. I literally use birdsong from the place we're at if I'm telling a story. So I do a Tucson ride where the songs were actually recorded in the exact place where we're riding. And that it sounds different and it makes a difference.
Well, you think about a movie soundtrack, you know, it may not be something you would choose to put on your radio or on your stereo or on your iPod, but it matches the message, obviously, of that movie, and it helps to pull you in. And the power of music to do that is pretty amazing. So, you know, I appreciate you bringing that point up because I do know some instructors who say things like, "Oh, my students will never, I would never be able to play that song." Well, yeah. You probably would if you built a story around it. Now, let me ask you this. If you played this, if you did this profile on, you know, early part of the week, would your next class or later in the week, you know, just kind of cater to their other musical desires? Maybe it's pop, maybe it's indie, maybe it's rock, so that you're meeting a wide range of choices or
Well, I meet them in any given profile. So my profiles tend to be all over the map, genre-wise, every single time. So unless I do a profile which is all one band, you're going to hear something you like and something you hate in every single class I teach. So they're accustomed to that, and I know what their preferences are, but I will still go to the right song rather than to something that will make them happy every single time. I'm thinking of one I have a song I use called Spinning in Daffodils, which is it's about riding your bike in deep mud in the spring. It's a horrific song. No one in my classes would ever play it, but it works there, and so they love it there.
You're going to have to send me that a copy of
Okay.
that. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for helping our listeners understand the power of a story and of educating your students in ways they never thought possible.
Well, I hope to hear from some people who've taught it, and maybe some of those who will teach us about what it's like to be on a beach.
I can't wait myself. So make sure you send, if you come up with another story, especially one that is based on a summer theme and sunshine and beach and walking through water and all the other kind of outdoor activities you might do in the summer, please send it to us and maybe we'll get you on air.